Good morning. Our pleasure to be here again with you this morning. And I suspect that when you were getting ready to come here, you would have heard, especially those with smaller children, you would have heard somebody say, "It's time to get dressed." Did anybody hear that expression? Yes. Good. So I guessed it right. Time to get dressed. And even if you didn't hear it this morning, you're going to hear it now. Because God's word tells us it's time to get dressed. Let's take a look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, and here it is, get dressed. Well, it says, clothe yourselves. And what an interesting wardrobe we have here. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, I call this our overalls, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We won't be analyzing the following verses, but let's read 15 on to 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. One of the things I like about this portion is how it addresses the Christians. In other words, you and me, if you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, you are a member of God's family. But here it says, as God's chosen people. God's chosen people. And the first thing I thought of when I read this was, like when we get together on a field down in Uruguay to kick a ball around called soccer. The first thing that is done with a soccer game is who plays on what side. And so you have generally one of the better players who will start choosing his team. And so they go back and forth. Now, I remember as a young boy, and even not so young, waiting for my name to be called. And it was always good when you were among the first to be called because, well, that means that you're a valued player. But if you got down it towards the end, well, you realize maybe I should dedicate myself to something else than soccer. But that's how it is with soccer and other things in life. We're chosen because of certain qualities and abilities that we may have, sometimes just friendships. But before God, we're chosen for none of those reasons. We're chosen just because he is a loving God who wants to show his ability to forgive, to take sinners like us, and to bring us into a chosen people. A different group of people to what is normal in society, because we're described as holy and dearly loved. Dearly loved, we have no trouble with, but it says holy first. Holy. And what do we think of when we think of someone who is holy? Well, there are different things that we may think of. But very often, especially in the culture that I'm coming from in Uruguay, you sort of think of an image, a picture of a saint, usually sort of absent from this world and sort of meditating or something out there. And that is our idea of holy. You might even have a halo or something like that to go along with it. But what is it to be holy? To be part of God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Holy. Well, first of all, none of us is holy of ourselves. We're all sinners. So for any of us to become holy, that has to be a gift from God. It has to be an act where God does away with our sin. It has to be something that will allow us to be clean before God. Remember Martin Luther and his struggle to find justice before God, to feel himself just before a just God, a holy God. And the more he tried, the more he afflicted himself in an attempt to become just before God, the more aware he became of how unjust he was. Until, reading Romans, he discovered that God justifies us apart from the law, through faith in Christ. And that's where that man who suffered anguish because of his awareness of his sin could find peace with God. As Romans 5:1 says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And what a blessing to a tortured conscience to find peace with God. Not thinking that he has achieved something, but aware that he has been justified by faith because of what Christ did for him. So would you call yourself a holy person this morning? Have you been made just before God? That is an important question. Because nobody can see God in an unholy state. Nobody can even think of getting to heaven unless he has been declared just before God on the basis of Jesus' death for him. So anybody thinking that they can get to heaven, as I hear every day people saying, well, I'm a good person, I've never harmed anyone, I try to do my best. No, that is not the way to find holiness, just standing before God. It is not of works that any man can boast. It is only through faith, dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ and his death for us. So have you taken that step of resting on the work of Christ for your salvation? If you haven't, you're lost and you need to come to God. If you have, you can rest assured of eternal life. What a difference. And it makes a difference in people's lives when they come to this point of repentance and faith in Christ. So these Colossians that Paul is writing to, that he describes as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, there people have come to this place in their life where they heard and they accepted Christ as their Savior. Dearly loved. That is nice. Who doesn't like to be dearly loved? I love to be loved by my wife. And I know that she likes the fact that I love her. We need love. Children need to sense the love of their parents. And how sad it is, how hard it is to see children who are torn when their parents fight and separate. And so often the children think that the cause of the problem is them. And the hurt that occurs when these children feel that they have somehow not been faithful to one of their parents, and when they suffer that separation. We need to be loved. And we're going to be talking about that further on, because it comes out in the clothing that we're to put on. So he says, holy, chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Hurry up and get dressed. Well, we see in life we have immediate time slots. You have to be at school for 9 o'clock in the morning, maybe. I don't know what it is here. 8 o'clock. Say you have to be at work for a certain time. Well, you have to be there. And so you have to get up a certain time and get dressed. As Christians, we can be pretty casual. And I'm not thinking about dress and clothing. I'm thinking of this dress that we're going to be looking at today. Our attitudes, our conduct. This is what is concerning Paul. He says, get dressed. And it's not someday, it's time now to get dressed. It's time now to put these things on and be able to function as a part of God's chosen people. So he says, first thing, compassion. Compassion. And we'll notice with all of the dress that we're called to put on, they're all things that show relationships. It's not just things that I need for myself. They're all things in relation to other people. And this first one is a good example because it starts with the prefix, compassion, which comes from being with. It's being with an equal passion or feeling, compassion. So how do we feel for other people? What are things that affect me? Only things that hurt me? Or am I affected emotionally, spiritually, by things that I see affect other people? Do I have compassion? Or as they used to say, do I walk in my fellow's moccasins? How are we for that? That's the first piece of clothing we have to put on. Compassion. So get our eyes off ourselves and get our eyes on other people. Not to be peeking into their situations or their business, but to be caring for them. That is a challenge in our day and age when everybody closes their door and disappears. We don't even know who our neighbors are. We don't interact except where we're almost obliged to interact. To think and to feel compassion for others. Then we have kindness. Be kind, feeling for other people. But being kind also involves an action, because we're being kind. It's not only the way we are, a kindly person, but we are to show kindness in things that we do, which can be as simple as picking up a piece of paper that fell out of somebody's hand, or a pen. Just being kind. But when we see other people that are struggling with things, and to be kind, not to criticize, we can be quick to judge, but a kind person overlooks the possible offense and looks for the positive things and the way to help. Compassion, kindness. And then we have humility. Not a show-off. Not belittling others. Not critical of the least little thing that we can pick out. Humility. We always point to the Lord, and we remember Philippians chapter 2, how Jesus, being God, didn't hang on to his position. He was willing to humble himself, to become one of us. And we've shared this morning in the breaking of bread how unworthy we are of God, how undeserving of his favor. And yet, he became a human being like us. He didn't just come down and float around amongst us. No, he came down and became a human being just like you and me, without stopping being God. But he became 100% human and went through all the human experiences that we do. That is humbling. It's like me becoming an ant and crawling around like an ant. That's what Jesus did for us. The next thing is gentleness. Gentleness. The King James says meekness. And we remember Moses, he was meek like nobody else. And yet, he had his moments as well. But meek. Somebody who is not pushy and bossy, trying to prevail themselves, but somebody who is meek towards other people. And then gentleness, patience. I like this word, patience. I like to compare it to the shock absorbers of a car. We all know the action of the shock absorber. So when the spring makes the car bounce up, well, the shock absorber holds it so that it doesn't just go through the sky. It keeps it in place. And the same when it hits bottom, it breaks that bump. The shock absorber. And that's what we need in our lives. Instead of getting angry and blowing up, well, this shock absorber helps us to keep in place. When things seem to crash in around us and we fall into depression, it'll hold us and prevent us from hitting bottom. What a quality this is. Patience. One of the Greek words for patience is bearing under a weight. And that's what it is all about. When things are pressing in around us, to be able to hang on and continue on. Verse 13 now gives two reciprocal actions that Paul wants to see in the Christians. He says, bear with each other. Nothing to do with bears in the woods. bear with each other. Put up with each other. Now, that's something that we have to learn when we have brothers and sisters. I come from a family of six, so I had to bear with my brothers and sisters. Of course, I was the perfect one in the family, you know. But it's a great place to learn, is where we have to live together with our brothers and sisters. And well, as Proverbs talks about iron sharpening iron, that happens in the family. And well, we have to bear with each other in the church situation, as brothers and sisters, one with another, in this family of God, or as members of his chosen people. We have to learn to interact, to bear with each other, not to repel, but to accept and continue along with our brothers and sisters, even if they're different, if they have different opinions on certain things. And that happens everywhere. It even happens in our marriage. And so just as we bear with each other in our marriage, with our children, in our greater family as a church, we need to bear with each other. And a big part of that is forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, this is a challenge. We can be patient, we can bear, but to forgive, and to forgive as the Lord forgave, that is putting a high standard for us. Because the Lord forgave, but he didn't just say forget about it and hold a grudge still, or I won't ever trust you again, or things like that. No, he forgave us, and he forgave us with a fresh start. No strings attached. No ifs, if you don't do it again. No. God forgives, and he forgives 100%. And that is how I have to forgive you, and you me. We have to forgive each other. And this is part of being a part of God's chosen people, of his family, of his country, as it says in Ephesians 2, in his citizenship. Forgive. Wow. That is very challenging. So we have these seven. We heard today that seven is the number of perfection. Well, here we have seven again. The perfect clothing for a Christian. These seven qualities: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with each other, and forgiving each other. Seven qualities of a Christian. But there's still one more. There's one that takes all these seven virtues and brings them together. Verse 14 says, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Okay, so there's our overalls. We all know what overalls are for. In one of our churches down in Uruguay, we have an electrician. He's one of our elders. And, well, he has his clothes, but when he goes to work, he puts on his overalls. We have another elder in another assembly who is head of maintenance. And he goes to work with his clothes, but he gets to the office or the factory, and he puts on his overalls. In another assembly, we have a painter. He has his clothes on, but when he goes to paint, his wife is very glad he has overalls that he puts on to protect all his clothes. Imagine if these three men didn't use overalls. They'd be running over to Walmart every day to get a new wardrobe. But the overalls protect the good clothing underneath. It also brings everything together. So love does that for us. Who can forgive as God forgives without love? Would that be possible? Who can be kind and show compassion without love? Is that possible? Love. We're accustomed to thinking of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter of love. But Romans 13 also has a very interesting reference to love, where it says it's the fulfillment of the law. And Corinthians says that if we have love, then it is impossible to hurt others. That's why love in marriage is so fundamental. So this is the overalls that we're supposed to put on. After we're clothed with these seven virtues, love must come into place. I think of a mother's love for her children. I see it right here, some mothers with their children in their arms, and how typical that is. How a mother will protect her children and give her best for her children. They'll stay up all night with her children. They'll protect them from the bullies outside. Different things that happen in a child's life, the mother is there for her children. And sometimes it's impossible to get a mother to see that her child is the one who is causing a problem. No, she'll defend them, even with the undefendable. But that's a mother's love. That's what love does. Love is a powerful force that brings out the best in people. When we come to 1 Corinthians 13, it says, even if we have all the faith, even if we do wonderful acts of goodness, but if we do it without love, sometimes you see generous acts in society where people have really donated a large sum of money. But you find it on the head
what do you call it now?
Headlines, the headlines of the newspaper. So-and-so donated. Well, is that the idea of the donation being recognized socially, or is it really to give, to support where it is needed? And that's a Christian distinctive of giving anonymously, of serving without trying to be recognized, like Jesus, willing to wash the disciples' feet, even though he was the Lord and the teacher. But there was no pride, no superiority in the relationships, because there was love. Jesus ordered us to love our enemies. People who treat us wrong. Now that is miraculous. If you can really love somebody that has done you an ugly deed. Jesus says to love your neighbor as yourself. And how do you do that? The guy next door, love them as I love myself. Well, different ways, practical ways. When we see them in need, when they're pushing their car to try to get it started, are we there to help them? Little things, sweeping their sidewalk. We hear that somebody is sick, taking them a meal. Very simple, practical ways of loving our neighbor as ourselves. It's simply putting ourselves in their position and treating them as we would appreciate being treated. Love. In John 13:34, it's a command. It's a command to love God and to love our neighbor. Remember that portion. It's the whole law is summed up in this one command to love one another. 1 John 3:10 says that if we don't love, we just aren't born of God. That's a tough statement that John makes. But John is like that. And we need it sometimes to shake ourselves into reality. Do I really love? Am I really a Christian? Or am I just religious? Because there's a huge difference between being religious and really being a Christian. Being a Christian is being born again. Being a Christian is having God's Holy Spirit come and live within us and producing a new life. And these things that we have to clothe, these are things that are produced by the Holy Spirit. Without it, without Him producing this within us, we are going to be like anybody else, because there will be no difference. But when we accept Christ as Savior, humble by the recognition that we are sinners and receiving His forgiveness, then He comes and lives within us and produces Christ's life within us. And so the first of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we find in Galatians 5 is love. It's the first virtue that is mentioned there. It's God's love that is put inside us. John also says that love comes from God because God is love. So it's his very essence. And that essence is what is supposed to be shining out of you and me. Wow. God's chosen people. Holy. Dearly loved by God. And we're supposed to be showing that same love to people around us. Not only to our fellow believers, but also to those who aren't yet Christians. Because Jesus also said that the world will recognize that we are Jesus' followers. How? By our love. So when the world sees how we love each other, then they will be attracted to our fellowship. That was one of the things that we enjoyed with Eunice yesterday, getting a message from South America, from Uruguay, from a mother saying and thanking the church for showing such love to her children. That is wonderful. This is a lady who is not a Christian, a person who has never had contact with the church, but well, one of her children goes to our son's English classes, and so that's how they got going to the youth group. And next prayer is, Lord, save this family. They have been attracted by love and care. And so the next step is that they understand they need salvation through faith in Christ. And that's how it works. Jesus said, people will recognize who you are by your love. So let us love one another. Christianity without love is as incompatible as day without light. You'd be surprised if you went outside this building and found everything pitch black. Because daytime, there's light. You and I, without love, we better hang up our Christianity name tags if there's no love. What's the result of a life lived like this? Well, it says in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Peace. So many people are crying for peace. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody in a real emotional state saying, all I need is peace? Right? Because the heart, the mind, everything is just in a turmoil. And how can we have peace? It's only found in Christ. A peace that knows no understanding, that goes beyond what human people can produce. The peace of Christ rule in your hearts. My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives it. Remember that verse in John. Christ's peace is not of this world, dependent on the world conditions. Christ's peace is a product of his person as his love. So we are called, verse 15, as members of one body, you were called to peace. Can you imagine somebody hitting themselves we would call that a person who is suffering a disorder, an emotional disorder. Suicide is not considered normal, good behavior. There's something wrong when somebody wants to do away with his life. So can you imagine a church where people are hating each other? Where people are hurting each other? No. It'll be self-destructive as a person committing suicide. Christ has called us his chosen people, holy and dearly loved, to clothe ourselves with these virtues that come from him, to put on our overall of love so that we can serve one another, bear with one another, and be instruments of God to show God's love to the world that hasn't yet found it and doesn't experience it. Maybe somebody today realizes, I have never accepted the Lord as my Savior. Maybe a child, maybe an older person, because this has nothing to do with age. This is the relationship that you have with God. Doesn't make any difference if your parents are Christians and your grandparents are Christians. My great-grandparents were Christians, but I had to take my decision to repent and to put my faith in Christ. So you do too. Everybody needs to come to this point in their life to really experience Christ in their lives, to be born again, truly, of the Holy Spirit of God, so that God can start working on us, because he doesn't want to leave us the way we are. He wants to change us. He wants to transform us, and he does that through his word, which when we accept Christ as Savior, his word will become milk and meat that will build us up and strengthen us as we eat it and drink it daily and enjoy his presence. May today's reflections on Christ's wonderful love to us bring us to our knees before him, maybe for the first time, accepting his forgiveness, or maybe for the millionth time, thanking him for his salvation and putting ourselves in his hands to be his servants. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we praise you for such a wonderful salvation that you've brought to us. We realize that we are undeserving, and we know that we are weak, unable to change ourselves. And so we have thrown ourselves upon you so that you would forgive us and so that you would strengthen us to live this day on as your chosen people, holy and dearly loved. We thank you, Father, for this clothing center that you have brought us to today. And we pray that especially this overall of love could be manifested regularly in all of our actions and attitudes. Do bless each one here this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.